The text this morning, as Amy said, comes from the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews is a fascinating book that I hope you've had the opportunity to not only read through, but to study. And if you're looking for maybe a book of the Bible to study in the new year, I'd submit Hebrews to you. Hebrews has been called by multiple biblical scholars the book of the New Testament that pulls the entire Bible together. The book that pulls the Bible together. It's written, and the authorship is debated, but it is written to early Christians who converted from Judaism to Christianity. And they were heavily persecuted. They were actually doubly persecuted, because when a Jewish person converted to Christianity, they incurred the wrath of many in the Jewish community, and Christians in general were persecuted during the early church period. So you've got this group of people who recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah, their salvation that the prophets had long promised as God's goodness and grace to his people. Yet they found themselves in the midst of persecution day in and day out. Their world never got brighter. They wondered where that light that was proclaimed, where that peace that was proclaimed at Jesus' birth was for them. Today, as we read Hebrews, we're removed some 2,000 years, but we could ask the same question, couldn't we? We've celebrated Christmas in a few days, a few weeks, some of you maybe in a month or so, not judging. The tree will come down. The lights will be extinguished. Some of the Christmas presents might be returned. And our world will seem terribly the same. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be hunger and homelessness. We will wake up to the same world and wonder at times, where's the light? Where's the peace? Hebrews is a book that pulls it all together. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, we get almost this beautiful hymn. A hymn that is written to Jesus' people to remind them that the light is there, that there is hope. Though we live in the already but the not yet, we're called to be Jesus' people. Right where we are, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of war, in the midst of famine, in the midst of injustice, in the midst of the hardness of life. But the good news is Jesus is there. The good news is that Jesus is there. Would you join me as we pray before we turn to the second chapter of Hebrews this morning? Father, we are grateful that in your word, you give us the promise and the reality of hope and light in Jesus. We give you thanks that you loved us enough that in the person of Jesus you would leave the throne of heaven and put on this human flesh to be with us, to raise us up, and to bring us salvation and a right relationship with you. May your word this morning take deep root in our hearts. And may the words that I speak this morning be your words. And may the loudest voice in this room be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 10, we find these words. speaking of Jesus, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Imagine being in the original audience of this letter, persecuted for your faith, and wondering, where is the light? Where is the peace? Where's the hope? And have these words read over you. This would have been read to these early Christians. That to hear that the God of all creation loved you enough to put on flesh so that he might identify with you. He came to be tempted so that he could endure that temptation and yet not sin. To put on flesh and know what it means to be cranky. To know what it means to not feel well. To know what it means to be angry and rejected. To know what it means to experience joy and happiness as an inhabitant of this world. It is that great love that the incarnation brings to us. It brings to us an assurance that the God of all creation understands. That the God of all creation longs to enter into your life. And not simply go, boy, this really isn't all that great. I'm glad I'm going back. But to say, I'm here because I don't want to leave you here. This isn't how you were intended to live. I came so that you might be raised up. I came so that you might know hope and salvation and light and peace. And I'll promise you that. And with my life, I will guarantee it. That's the good news that the angels came to share. The reality is we live, as I said a few moments ago, in the already, but the not yet. Jesus is our hope. He is our light. He is our peace. That's available to us right now through the power of his Spirit as his people. But we live in a world that's not yet. A world that Jesus is still redeeming bit by bit, piece by piece, in all of its brokenness. It means that while we know Jesus and we know that hope and we know that peace and we know that light, we still hear doctors give heartbreaking diagnoses. We still gather at graves to mourn people we love who have died. It means that when the tree is down and the ornaments are packed up and the lights are turned off, we may still long for redeemed relationships with family or friends. We may still long for meaningful employment, whole bodies, because we live in a broken world. But it's a world that is being made new bit by bit by the promise and the hope and the light of Jesus. And while the angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy for all the people," Jesus also said, "Remember, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Because he entered in and he knows what it's like to wake up every day as a human being with our frailties and our broken world. And he wanted you to know, and he wants me to know, and he wants every person in the sound of my voice to know that he's not gone. He's with us and he's coming back. And in his humanity, he provided hope and light and peace. And to those early Christians steeped in Judaism, the author of Hebrews says, "You have a new great high priest who is able to make the atonement for your sins." We don't really fully grasp, I think, today as Gentile Christians, the concept of a great high priest. We don't. If Blake were here, he'd say, "I'm certainly not your great high priest." I'll tell you, I'm certainly not your great high priest. And if you think you are, we got more problems than we thought we did. Amy's never going to claim she's your great high priest. The high priest to those Jewish people was the one who on their behalf went before the Holy of Holies, who took their sacrifices and went before God and offered them and asked God to forgive. And he did that day after day, time after time, and he never rested because there were always more atonements to make. But the author of Hebrews says to the original audience and to us today, you have a great high priest who has made the atonement for your sins, who has opened the door to hope, opened the door to salvation, opened the door to light. And he's not shuttling back and forth anymore. He's sitting down at the right hand of God the Father at the throne of heaven. Our great high priest has done the job on our behalf for each of us. And now he rests and waits to return to fully redeem and fully claim this world as his. That's good news, my friends. That's good news. So when the burden of life begins to settle in, as the tree's taken down and the lights are dimmed, and you might be tempted in our brokenness to say, "Where's the hope? Where's the light? Where's the peace?" Remember, your great high priest is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can be reminded daily that there is hope and there is light and there is peace. And we can be Jesus' people in this world today by carrying that hope and that peace with us and reminding people not just at Christmas with our carols and our proclamations, but every day, that there's good news of great joy for everyone, and it comes in the person of Jesus. Jesus had to come down in the form of a little baby so that he might reascend, and in reascending, the miracle of the incarnation becomes real. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Miracles, put it this way. In the Christian story, God descends to reascend. He comes down, down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity. But he goes down to come up again and bring the ruined world up with him. That's the good news. Jesus didn't just come down and go, boy, it really is a mess. Good luck with that. He came down and he lived it and he experienced it and he did it without sin. And he became our atonement so that in descending he could reascend as our atonement, so that we might know hope and peace and light. And in reascending, he lifts us up with this ruined world that he one day will make perfect again. As you approach a new year, as you maybe make resolutions, may one resolution be not if there are times in the next year that you go, where's the hope? Where's the peace? Where's the light? But when you remember, here's good news of great joy for all the people, because in the town of David, a Savior is born. In the town of David, God came down, put on flesh, experienced our humanity so that he could reascend, and in reascending, raise us up and this broken world with him. And in that already but not yet, we're called to proclaim that good news, not just in word, not just in thoughts, but in every relationship that we have. Because we're all going to get to the point at some point and say, where's the hope? Where's the peace? Where's the light? May God's Spirit whisper. It's right there in the person of Jesus. And that's good news. That's good news for each of us. Merry Christmas.